This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. For most of this hour, we'll be up in Studio 4A with the Reduced Shakespeare Company to hear about the complete world of sports, abridged. But first, while the federal government approaches a deadline on the debt ceiling, the government of Minnesota's deadline passed 12 days ago. With no agreement on a new budget, only essential state employees and services are still working, state police, for example. Many state workers and most services are shut down. At last word, no new talks are scheduled between Governor Mark Dayton, a Democrat, and the Republicans who control the legislature. In St. Paul, Sasha Aslanian joins us from the studios of Minnesota Public Radio, where she covers the shutdown for NPR News. Nice to have you with us today.
Thanks, Neil.
And any forward movement whatsoever?
On the talks, no. As you mentioned, none are scheduled. And today, Governor Dayton went on a fly-around around the state, went up to St. Cloud, which is about an hour north of the Twin Cities, and held a public meeting at Apollo High School. And he said he wants to show Minnesotans what's at stake and also demonstrate his willingness to negotiate with Republican leaders.
And in the meantime, Republican leaders, what are they doing?
Well, they're asking Governor Dayton to call them back into a special session. They'd like to pass a lights-on bill so that state government business could resume and they could continue to hammer out the budget disagreement.
And at this point, they can't even agree on that?
No. No. Governor Dayton is saying, show me your plan and then we can negotiate. I can't negotiate with myself.
What in effect has been shut down? We mentioned state police are open. Obviously, you need those services and other vital services, but a lot of the government has been shut down.
Right. 22,000 state workers have been laid off. That's about two-thirds of the state government workforce. And as you mentioned, public safety, of course, continues with the state patrol. Prison guards are still on duty, that kind of thing. But pretty widespread effects. All of the state parks are closed. More than 100 state road construction projects are shuttered. Rest stops are closed. If you are very poor and receive a child care subsidy, that has disappeared. Prisoners can't have visits or religious services. There's all kinds of permitting and inspections. Like if you didn't get your fishing license, too bad. It's not available anymore.
And I understand counterintuitively, shutting down the government costs money.
It does. And the state is missing revenue. It had to shut down the state lottery, so it'll be missing more than $1 million a day in the lottery. And all kinds of lost revenue, lost productivity, and also they're having to pay these state workers unemployment benefits.
Oh, so they're getting unemployment. Well, of course, they're out of work, no fault of their own.
That's right.
I understand there's also been a board set up to adjudicate who's essential, who's not, whether this can be covered or not.
Right. There is a judge in Ramsey County, which is where St. Paul is located, the capital, and the judge is having to rule on what is a core government service. What is the government constitutionally obligated to continue to do, even amidst a shutdown? And then there's a special master who is taking all kinds of petitions, even from regular people who are making their case for why their little corner of state government should continue amidst the shutdown.
I read in the newspaper the story of a couple from Minnesota who went to Texas to adopt a child, but can't come back because the paperwork can't get completed because the state agency shut down.
You know, this has been an interesting lesson for everybody on just what state government does. You wouldn't believe the sort of arcane business of government, and you don't really notice it until it's gone.
And who is getting the blame for this? I would think that both sides are competing to tell their side of the story.
Definitely. There's a big campaign on to win the hearts and minds of Minnesotans. There have been radio ads airing, for example, heading into the July 4th weekend. There were ads being aired by Democrats saying that the Republicans shut down the state parks, and that's why you can't go into the state parks. So there's been no scientific polling, so we really don't know which way public sentiment is leaning on this. It's been kind of fun to watch the virtual war shaping up online with the Facebook group that popped up, I support Governor Mark Dayton has 10,000 likes, and then the Governor Dayton call us back to work has 700. So those are, again, not scientific, and those skew probably young and liberal, but they've been kind of fun to keep an eye on.
And similarly, there's a billboard, as I understand it, that says next rest stop 338 miles in Iowa. Thanks a lot, Governor Dayton.
That's right. And the truckers were not successful in trying to get the state to reopen the rest stops.
as you go through this crisis, one of the odd things is that the prospect of a government shutdown is often enough to, usually enough, to get people, whether it's in a state capital like St. Paul or even here in Washington, D.C., to focus their minds and say, this would be a bad thing for everybody. Let's get something done. Obviously, that didn't happen.
No, it was like a big game of chicken, and both of them went for it, and I think that there's a question of who it's going to be the most damaging to.
A game of chicken in part because many Republicans ran on a platform saying we need to reduce spending in government, and Governor Dayton ran on a platform saying we need to get more tax revenues from the wealthiest in Minnesota.
That's right. It's been just an incredible collision with both sides feeling that they have the mandate from voters.
There is, at the same time, all this is going on, not just a metaphorical political heat. There's literal heat in Minnesota and a lot of other places, too. Has that played into this situation?
Just the fact that, yeah, it's July and it is hot and people want to be outdoors and be enjoying the parks, for example, and you can't camp in any of the parks. You can walk into them during the day, although it's not really encouraged because there's no staff in there to ensure your safety. There has been some vandalism at night in one of the state parks as well.
And as this continues, you would have thought after almost a couple of weeks now, people would have started to come up with compromises. And I know that former Vice President Mondale, of course, a longtime senator from that state, decided to summon some gray eminence grise together and see if they could come up with a proposal that might be acceptable to both sides.
That's right. Yes, we had the elder statesmen try to come together to try to resolve the impasse. And so far, that hasn't worked either.
Arne Carlson, the former Republican governor, was, I guess,
yes,
his counterpart on that side. So is there any prospect for a breakthrough? Because we here in Washington see similar kinds of positions, strangely enough, amongst the Republicans, who in this case control the House of Representatives, and Democrats who control the White House and the Senate.
No, the situations are very parallel. In fact, we had our D.C. reporter looking at that down to the rhetoric, it's line by line. We're really not seeing any compromise. Governor Dayton has continually revised downward the number of wealthy Minnesotans who would be covered under his proposed tax increase. But we haven't seen any similar movement on the side of the Republicans. They've been standing firm on no increase in taxes.
No increase.
And so,
and there's no other way to come up with revenues. I know the governor, for example, proposed increasing the cigarette tax by a buck a pack or something.
There's been discussion of that. There's been discussion of a Racino, trying to use increase the gambling revenues. The problem is we have it's a $5 billion gap, and the two sides have gotten it down to a $1.8 billion gap. But just that's a lot of money. And, putting in a Racino is just probably not going to do it. It's going to need to be a combination of things.
There are, we mentioned the gray heads who gathered. There's a more recent governor of Minnesota who's in the national spotlight. Tim Pawlenty is running for the Republican presidential nomination. Has he weighed in on this?
Well, yes, he did. He flew back to the airport after a campaign swing through Florida to offer his opinion on backing his GOP counterparts in all this. I don't think that was too welcome to many Democrats who would like to hold him accountable for the budget mess that we're in.
They say Governor Dayton had to inherit this deficit from somewhere.
Right.
He didn't create it in his first 6 months in office.
That's right. And a lot of this was kicking the can down the road, delaying payments to schools. And of course, that just postpones the pain into the next budget cycle.
In the meantime, the current governor, Mark Dayton, he doesn't look so great because his chef and his housekeeper are still on the job.
And then another thing that's been interesting to watch is who is continuing to accept paychecks. Many of the legislators have continued to accept their paychecks, which, of course, doesn't go over too well with the 22,000 state employees who are going without paychecks during the shutdown.
So how long Can this is Minnesota. This is Minnesota nice. This is a good government state.
Yeah, this is the state that was the Minnesota miracle on the cover of Time magazine 40 years ago for being a state that worked. We're not there right now. And that's something that a lot of our listeners have been sounding off about, just sort of their sadness, their dismay, their embarrassment at being perceived by the rest of the country as a state that is not functioning.
And I have to say, though other state governments are not shut down, you've seen similarly bitter partisan divides in places, Wisconsin right next door, and
yes.
New Jersey and various other places that are more further afield, and even in California where there's been problems getting budgets passed. The budget problems are certainly not Minnesota's alone. The partisanship is not Minnesota's alone. I guess the surprise is that it extends even to Minnesota.
I think that's a surprise for many Minnesotans.
And your listeners, as they think about this, have they come up with any solutions other than shaking their heads in despair?
Oh, I think a lot of our listeners, have been expressing their opinions on one side or another, or locking them all in a room and not letting them out until they've come up with a solution. And we've just been going piece by piece, trying to examine what each of these areas of the budget really means and what's at stake behind this budget impasse.
In California, there was a law passed that said if there's no budget, the members of the legislature don't get paid.
I think there probably would be some support for that here.
Thanks very much for your time, and we hope things get back to normal as soon as possible.
Thank you.
Sasha Aslanian is a reporter with Minnesota Public Radio News, and she joined us from their studios in St. Paul. When we come back, last time we visited with the reduced Shakespeare Company, they skewered Hollywood. This time it's the complete world of sports, abridged. Everything you wanted to know about sports, from soccer to curling to rhythmic gymnastics. The cast of the reduced Shakespeare Company is upstairs in Studio 4A. I'm headed there now. Stay with us. It's the Talk of the Nation from NPR News.